Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from our second reading from the book of Acts, with an emphasis on these words. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. On September 3rd, 1939, King George VI readied himself to give a radio address to Britain and to all the people of the empire following the government's formal declaration of war with Germany in the wake of the Nazi invasion of Poland. The 2 years since George's coronation had been beset with political turmoil, with international tension, and with a lingering distrust of the crown after his brother Edward VIII abdicated the throne. Now, tumultuous as all of these things were, however, what weighed most heavily on the king was not forces external, but internal. A constant struggle with a speech impediment, which he suffered since youth and which he feared would now diminish his confidence in his leadership at this most crucial juncture. For the king knew that the voice of a monarch must be clear and regal and strong. But throughout his youth, he could barely muster a single sentence without stammering. Now, fortunately, George did not face this predicament alone. For over a decade before his famous speech on the eve of war, the king had sought treatment and counsel from an unorthodox Australian speech therapist named Lionel Logue. A pioneer in his field, Logue's method of therapy was distinguished not only by innovative vocal exercises, but also by his humor, his patience, and his strong sense of compassion, his magnanimous personality, and his gift for coaching his patients through their therapy led him to form a strong bond of personal friendship with George VI, which the king credited entirely with his ability to speak in public. Their relationship, which many of you might have seen dramatized in the 2010 film The King's Speech, it was really more than a story about overcoming the limitations of a speech impediment. Rather, it also demonstrated how the compassionate touch of a good friend and counselor can make a tangible difference in the way that we carry ourselves, as well as the confidence with which we speak. Today, coming into our Pentecost reading from the book of Acts, I imagine that even as they had just seen their Lord ascend into heaven, still the disciples must have wrestled with their own feelings of loneliness and inadequacy. For Jesus had just left them in charge of ministering to the fledgling church and contending with the still uncertain circumstances that awaited them in the city of Jerusalem. The absence of Christ in his flesh meant that they no longer had his physical lead to follow, nor, for that matter, his voice to heed and to guide. But nevertheless, they were by no means alone. For their Lord had already promised them, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask my Father, and he will send you another helper." For this reason, we heard Jesus in last week's gospel reading tell his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Though Jesus had departed them, ascended into the clouds to sit at the right hand of the Father, still he promised that his Holy Spirit would remain with them. And 10 days later, at the celebration of Pentecost, this promise of the Lord was fulfilled. The disciples saw again that the Lord's word is good when the Spirit descended upon them with the sound of a mighty rushing wind and with the appearance of tongues of fire that rested atop each their heads. He did not come in this way to dazzle with spectacle, but rather to equip, to comfort, and most importantly, to open their lips. Now, the same disciples, those men who once grumbled and bickered and denied their Lord, here they were now speaking in different tongues to all the Jews from every nation gathered in Jerusalem to proclaim to them the good news of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. And why? Well, certainly not because they were somehow, in those 10 days, miraculously transformed men with a perfect understanding of their mission, but because the Holy Spirit was now giving them utterance. This is the first crucial lesson that we take from the Pentecost miracle. Yes, Christ may have ascended. Yes, we can no longer see him face to face, but he has certainly not abandoned his church. He still sends the Holy Spirit to dwell with us through water and through the Word. The Spirit remains present in the church to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us all for life in Christ. He is our friend. He is our counselor, who gives us utterance to speak the truth of God's Word. Having marked each of you as his own, he now places the name of Jesus on your lips. In the preaching of the gospel, he continues to form your faith, he continues to strengthen your voice, and he will direct your witness. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are his priesthood of all believers, his church on earth to bring Christ to the nations. Therefore, the church continues to call out to this very day, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. We speak these words most often, as many of you know, in the service of Matins, echoing the words of King David in the 51st Psalm. Each morning we do this. We begin the day with the simple confession that we, of ourselves, cannot rightly speak of God without God first acting upon us. And so we continually call upon his promised helper to visit us again, to transform the words of our unclean lips into prayers and praises fit to carry the gospel of Christ Jesus. For he and he alone has the power to subdue our sinful impulses and to fit us for the task to which we have been called. As a chief example of this, you might take St. Peter from our reading in Acts chapter 2. Now, prior to Pentecost, Peter, of all people, struggled mightily with speech. No, he did not have any kind of speech impediment that we know about, but Peter was a man with a lot to say. In fact, oftentimes too much to say. Peter was what you or I might call a motor mouth. He was quick to speak when he did not understand. He was quick to make promises that he could not keep. He was quick to charge into action and, more often than not, just as quick to fail. You might remember how he famously boasted to the Lord that though they all fall away because of you, I, Lord, will never fall away. And you know how that ended. That very same night, he denied his Lord three times. You might also remember the time that he rebuked Jesus as Jesus began to teach about his upcoming cross and passion, and he did so only moments after he confessed him to be the Christ of the living God. You might remember how he called out to Jesus on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, bidding that he might miraculously walk out to him on the sea, only to begin to sink when he saw the mighty waves. Peter, it seemed, could never quite, try as he might, muster words of genuine faith all on his own. But here in Acts 2, things change. When Peter finally stopped relying on his own words and strength and instead let the Holy Spirit take the lead and do the talking, well then, his lips were opened. And he preached the very first sermon of the Christian church. A Spirit-given proclamation leaning on God's word from the prophet Joel to point back to Christ. This, dear friends, is how the church is called to speak to this very day. Not with human wisdom or cleverness, not by strength of voice or rhetorical skill, but by the Spirit of the living God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the church's speech therapist, if you will. Not to fix a stammer, but to transform our fearful, faltering words into a bold confession of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Friends, perhaps there are times when you might feel like the disciples probably felt as they began their ministry, unsure of what to say, unequal to the call that Jesus issued them. Perhaps there have been times when you've stood silent, when you wished that you had spoken out for your neighbor. Perhaps you fumbled through your testimony, or avoided witnessing to others altogether, fearing rejection or ridicule. Each and every one of us knows what it is to be tongue-tied by the fear that comes from sin. But still, the Holy Spirit continues to give utterance. Christ's promise to his apostles is the same promise that he makes to you today. He says, "Do not be anxious about how you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This he promised in Matthew 10. He promises, we are not alone. We are not unqualified, and we are most certainly not without help. The Spirit who was poured out at Pentecost still speaks today through the voices that are gathered in the church. Here he qualifies you and equips you to share the gospel message with all people. You know, it's rather extraordinary when you think about it, friends. Each and every one of you carries in your pocket a tiny device that allows you to speak to people across the globe in an instant. We live in a world that is more connected than ever before. The Bible is translated into thousands of languages, and the curse of Babel continues to be undone as we have more opportunities than ever before to speak Christ's peace with our neighbors of every tribe and every tongue. God has placed before us extraordinary opportunities to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit continually opens up new avenues for ministry and outreach, and he calls you, his church, to speak up, to answer boldly and faithfully. When the disciples on Pentecost were given the gift of tongues, you probably noticed that none of them used this newfound gift to speak for their own benefit. They didn't use this power to glorify themselves, but to preach the good news to their neighbor, to share the mighty works of God with all who are around them and who would hear them. In the same way, God opens your lips today, and it is for the sake of your neighbor that he does so. Therefore, let your voice be that voice which speaks the words of forgiveness, life, and salvation to them, that they too may turn from their sin, that they too might hear the gospel, that they too might confess Christ crucified for them. Many of you will likely never speak to an entire nation like King George or like St. Peter, but each of you will, without fail, speak to a friend who needs comfort. You might speak to a child who needs teaching, to a peer who needs encouragement. And when you do, when you love your neighbor in the name of Jesus, his Spirit will speak through you. You don't need the perfect words, for God's word is already perfect, and it will accomplish what he intends. Whether you speak with great eloquence or whether you struggle to find the right words, the Spirit will constantly use your efforts to make Christ known. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of this very promise of God when he says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty." You know, friends, as George VI concluded his broadcast on that grim September morning, He spoke with words of wisdom that to this day still direct our hearts and minds to the help and comfort that we have in our God. He said, "The task ahead will certainly be hard. There may be dark days ahead, and war can no longer be confined to the battlefield, but we can only do the right as we see the right, and reverently commit our cause to Almighty God. If one and all we keep resolutely faithful to it, ready for whatever service or sacrifice it may demand, then, with God's help, we shall prevail." In like encouragement, the Apostle Peter points us back to the words given us by our God, which are profitable for our salvation. For he says, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Just as King George was encouraged by his friend and counselor, and just as St. Peter was emboldened to preach Christ on Pentecost, so also our courage today comes not from ourselves, but it comes from God himself. God the Holy Spirit, who continues to visit us in all of our need. See him poured out on you this day, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through word and through sacrament, and trust that he will equip you in the ways that he knows best. Repeating the fervent prayer of King David, be confident that as he once spoke through prophets and apostles of old, so now will he give utterance to your voice to declare the mighty works of God. By your voice, he will deliver words of salvation to all who need hear. O Lord, open my lips, the church now prays, and my mouth will declare your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.